Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. Kicking off with the big one at one. You're listening to The Fan. The Redskins should seek out Hard Knocks and beg the league to take them as the team to be featured on HBO this summer. I'm going to make the case for that at 1:18. But speaking of television, Travis Andrews of the Washington Post writes about pop culture. He's written a lot about Game of Thrones recently. And with the series finale and the, well, obviously the eighth season winding down on Sunday, and we're going to finally find out who's going to end up on the throne. We figured what better time than to get some answers on GOT than right now from Travis. We appreciate a couple of minutes. I guess I want to start with, why do you think this show has made it so mainstream? Nothing really about it. Now, you hear people talk about it and the names they use and some of the quirky, almost nerdy things about it, and yet
absolutely nerdy.
It's the biggest show maybe ever. How and why did Game of Thrones get here?
That's a really good question. I think at the beginning, it was really titillating to people. The sex and the violence was so over the top. People started talking about it, tuning in. And that was kind of like a Trojan horse, because once people got in there, they were like, oh, this is kind of a fascinating world, and these characters are really deeply drawn and complex. So I think they kind of hooked people early on with that kind of stuff, and then once people were in, they were in. And then, you know, it reaches a critical mass where you go to work, everyone's talking about it Monday morning, you don't want to be left out.
What's the closest thing to this, Travis? Because, I mean, I'm a giant dork. I read the books. I have been waiting for the show for years before it came out, and I was excited about episode one, so I was already in. They could just, you know, just show a moving slideshow for 10 seasons. I would have been thrilled just to see what characters look like in their costumes. What's been closest to this? Would you say Walking Dead, or is there something else that's kind of gotten to this phenomenon?
What always comes to my mind is Breaking Bad, but not the whole show, only the very end. If you remember, they broke up that last season into two parts, and by those last eight episodes, everyone was watching. And it kind of had that same slow build over time. And once enough people were hooked, that, you know, the end of Breaking Bad was just enormous. Walking Dead's super popular, but I don't think it has the same kind of rabid fan base that wants to discuss it the way that Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones does.
Our guest writes about pop culture for the Washington Post and has been writing about Game of Thrones. Travis Andrews is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Do we have a pretty good feel for how many people are watching this in real time as opposed to streaming it? I mean, I see these numbers that come out where they supposedly tell me 40 million people every week are consuming it. That seems high to me. But what do we know about the actual following and how big it is right now?
Yeah, that's super high. I think that's with streaming and everything like that. This isn't an exact number, but I remember last episode had maybe 17 to 18 million people watch it in real time. And, you know, that's TV, so you got to remember some people are watching, you know, groups and such. But
give me a comp. Like, what other, as far as TV shows doing well, I know, like, The Big Bang Theory, everyone was talking about, ended last night, and it was upwards of high teens, you know, almost 20 million. I feel like that's still massive for any kind of TV show, let alone cable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these days, to get that many people is almost unheard of. And obviously, that's a lot different than it used to be. Famously, the end of MASH had something like, you know, 88 million people or something like that. So things have certainly changed. But 17 to 18 million is still, these days, incredibly high.
All right, Travis, let's get into some of the nitty-gritty of it here. People have been disappointed. Really, it started last season where they complained about pacing issues, you know, where it used to be you'd take your time, take weeks. Now, Gendry's jogging back from north of the wall, basically, you know, in a quarter of an episode. He's just winded when he falls down, and then he can deliver the news. The pacing has changed, we know that. But people are angry. People are even disappointed. To me, this still, even with the bad taste at the end, is one of the great achievements in the history of television. We've never seen anything like this. Where are you at here on these last two seasons, then maybe this one specifically?
You know, I share that disappointment. And the reason I share it is because I do think it's one of the greatest accomplishments on television that we've ever seen. And it really feels like the creators are kind of done with it. They're kind of rushing to an end game. And I think that kind of spoils a little bit of the earlier experience. when a story ends, you know, that's the thing you're kind of looking forward to the whole time. And if it doesn't kind of land it right, I think a lot of people can look back and say, wait, was this as good as I thought? And that's a real shame, because I think it was for the most part.
So when we get, and I think part of what made this show so great, Travis, was that it didn't always go according to plan, right? Like, so, you know, if you go back and you didn't read the books and you didn't see the Red Wedding coming, it's not always about happy endings. The young would-be hero gets his throat cut, or, you know, Ramsay telling us, as he's telling Sansa, hey, you think the story has a happy ending? You haven't been paying attention. I think they let us know that it's not always going to go according to plan. So I think that's part of what people are complaining, is that maybe it's not the ending that they wanted, but then there are some of the other issues that I think are legitimate complaints. How do you balance that?
I think that's really tough, because you're absolutely correct. Things don't go as planned. And I think that some of the decisions they made this year were the right decisions. They just got to them a little too quickly. They didn't really earn them, if that makes any sense.
It does.
People were not unhappy about the Red Wedding, I think, because it felt really earned. Everything was set into place, and when it happened, you could say you were shocked, but then you were like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually, for the show I've been watching. And that's the tricky part. I think if they had had another season, just 8 more episodes, then they could do everything they're doing now, and people wouldn't be as upset. But then the other part is people have been thinking about this show now for 9 years, yeah, and they kind of come up with an ending in their head. And when things don't go the way they want it to, I think people will just be disappointed. I think that's just the nature of storytelling.
Yeah, I think that in 2019, anything that's 9 years in the making that ends, there's no way to make people happy. I mean, there was going to be a lot of people that hated it no matter what. A lot of people are going to complain just to complain. Then you got a bunch of people who haven't been in, but for more than 2 months, they kind of caught up over the last couple months, that are going to be angry. And does their opinion matter as much as someone who's been in since day one? I don't know. Travis Andrews is with us of the Washington Post. What do you expect? I mean, give us your prediction here on the final episode. Who ends up on the throne? How do you think Sunday night plays out?
Oh, man, on the spot. So I think that Jon ends up on the throne. I think it's a little obvious, and I kind of wish it wouldn't go that way. But I think they've really set it up for Jon to end up on the throne. I wouldn't be surprised if Arya kills Daenerys and kind of, you know, steps aside, and then Jon takes the throne. But this is Game of Thrones, so there's a chance that Daenerys just takes her dragons and, you know, kills everybody and just takes it. And that'd be pretty fitting with the show we've been watching.
I would certainly take that outcome. I think they also did spend some time, one of the few things they did spend time doing here, Travis, was setting up the Sansa Daenerys angst, conflict, dislike. That feels, I would feel cheated if she wasn't intimately involved somehow in this last episode, whether she's on the throne. She's kind of like my three seed, you know, but like one of those strong three seeds out of the Midwest that has a good bracket and they can get to the Final Four if they hit some threes. I feel like Sansa could do it as well. I've got Tyrion as someone that could maybe, you know, do Daenerys in. There's a number of different things. Someone's going to have to do something maybe out of type to overthrow the new Mad Queen.
Absolutely. And I think Sansa would be a perfect person to do that. I would love to see that, and they definitely set it up. That's one character where you kind of run into that problem of it being so sped up. The last time we saw her, she's still in Winterfell. Mm-hmm. And so this episode, I guess she has to get to King's Landing and do something. That's where you kind of run into some trouble. And I watched the teaser for this episode. She's not even in it.
No.
I think you're 100% right. She's gonna play into this somehow. My guess is she counsels John or something along those lines.
Last thing for you. Who was your favorite character throughout the arc of the show?
Bronn. Bronn, to me, was not the most important character, but every time he was on the screen, I was just so happy. He was so fun to watch, and I kind of hate that he's just hiding out in the woods or whatever right now.
Where is he? What's he going to do? He tried to better deal Cersei, right?
Yeah, and then he went and told Jaime and Tyrion, I just want to die a slow, quiet death, and just left. I don't think we see him again, which is super disappointing.
That would be... I don't know anything about this show or anything about anybody you're talking about, but just hearing that would be a terrible way for that character
so
that you like
Bronn
so much to disappear.
Bronn is hysterical. He and Tyrion, for the first three seasons, basically did a buddy cop show, as they would roll around and just get hammered and talk junk to people. Bronn was incredible. He's a sellsword. But he's gone from like this low-level sort of zilch to... He's now... What did he get promised? He got the Martell's place. Highgarden. He got promised Highgarden, for goodness sakes, Grant.
Wow, Highgarden. That's
Highgarden,
crazy.
Dude.
Well, I hope Sunday night goes very well for everyone, and I hope that you've got something fun to write about come Monday, Travis. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate you hopping on.
Travis, thanks, buddy.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. There's Travis Andrews of the Washington Post. Sunday, it all comes to an end. Game of Thrones is over.
Dorks unite.
I'm excited for you guys that it's ending and
it's
you get your resolution. I'm excited for me as well that this is all over with.
Yeah. To be completely excited for people that are out so don't have to hear about it anymore.
Right. I think I everybody that. Wins. You guys get the end of your show. I get to just live my life without hearing any more about it.
Complainers get to complain. People that like it are going to like it.
We're all happy.
It's all coming to a head.
Speaking of TV shows, this one I am in on. Hard Knocks.
Oh, yeah, baby.
The Redskins should be begging the league for it. I'm going to explain next on Grant and Danny.
Discover your best self at the St. James, the newest destination for sport, wellness, and active entertainment. This is not just the gym, people. The St. James is an entire experience. There's something for everyone all day, every day. I got young kids, right? I got my oldest is just starting to get into team sports. My youngest doesn't get in anything except for trouble. He puts his finger in electronic sockets and finds silverware and sharp things and is always in danger. Well, you got something for people like me and you at the St. James. They got a great daycare facility right there so you can get your workout in. They also got some expert coaches, camps, competitive leagues in all of these sports. Over 30 sports are taken care of at the St. James, as well as beginner training programs. So you can have your little player or whatever learn at their own pace. That is a big deal. Or if you got someone that is looking for a college scholarship, you can have some advanced training stuff. The facilities are top notch. The point is they've got something for everybody there, including you. Post-workout, how about you enjoy a restorative massage, a facial, cryotherapy at the full-service spa? That's right. That's on-site, too. With so much under one roof, the St. James is truly one of a kind. You can explore it all today with their complimentary day pass. Visit thestjames.co to get your free pass and spend all day at the St. James. That's thestjames.co. St. James, welcome to your best.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take on the Marlins, upcoming homestand, coming up in about 23 minutes. This email, 12:36 p.m. into my inbox. 2019 NFL Hard Knocks chances. Washington, the favorite, followed by Oakland and the New York Giants. Here are your odds, Danny.
Oh, hello.
5-4 favorites, the Redskins. 5-2, second best chance, the Oakland Raiders.
Dude.
HBO's getting a Gruden, brother.
Better than the Raiders.
New York Giants 3-1. Detroit Lions 7-2. San Francisco 49ers 9-1. So rapid fire just running through these. Redskins go get Dwayne Haskins. You've got the intrigue of a head coach coaching for his job. You've got a head coach who's been on Hard Knocks before as an OC in Cincinnati and Jay Gruden, who played up to the cameras and did some good things, I think, on HBO. Was fun, was entertaining. Obviously, the Oakland Raiders have John Gruden. They've also got the buddy cop show that could be the crazy Vontaze Burfict and Antonio Brown, one guy on each side of the ball. I mean, they are the obvious choice. They would make the most sense. But for some reason, BetOnline has the Redskins as higher odds to get the show. And I think it just comes down to maybe the league would prefer to wait till the Raiders get to Las Vegas.
Do a one year more from year, now. Yeah.
Next year in Las Vegas in year one, you're not going to have a new coach. And there's a 95% chance they're not going to be coming off of a playoff appearance, you could mandate that they're on Hard Knocks. Why wouldn't you want those opening credits rolling of scenes on the strip? You know, Antonio Brown going out for a late night and you're following him around with a camera
crew.
He's
just eating at the Wynn Buffet.
He's not going to the Celine Dion show. You know what I mean?
To play craps. Oh, man.
Third, the odds are the Giants. You got Daniel Jones versus Eli Manning for that job. You've got Saquon Barkley as a superstar. And not a whole lot else other than, I guess, people who cover football closely getting some meat on the bone of getting a laugh at all of the meetings that are had by Dave Gettleman. No matter what he does, like how he chooses gum, how he walks, everyone will be making fun of that, I'm sure. The Detroit Lions come in fourth. The only reason for that is they're the fourth team that can actually be appointed the show.
So they're fourth out of four.
Right, by the league. And then there's the San Francisco 49ers. I think the 49ers would be great. Kyle Shanahan, who would want nothing to do with being on this show, as a football savant, has some Sean McVay tendencies people I think would fall in love with. He's a pretty likable, cool guy, young, relatable head coach. You've got Jimmy Garoppolo, kind of a put-up or shut-up, make-or-break year for a dude who got paid huge money, played limitedly in San Francisco 2 seasons ago, then got hurt early last year. And the 49ers have huge expectations. You know, not unlike the Browns last year where you're coming off a terrible season, but if you don't play well, your coach is going to lose his job. Hard Knocks kind of likes that angle, which I think would work for the Redskins as
sure,
well.
Sure, absolutely.
San Francisco makes some sense. But here's my Redskins take on this. We talked with a caller about this yesterday. And the more I think about it, I think this is just so true. The Redskins need Hard Knocks so badly. More than Hard Knocks needs them, they should be on the phone. Bruce Allen today should pick up his phone and dial. Hey, Roger, how you doing? I don't know who to call who's in charge of Hard Knocks, but send me to that person. Hang on, Bruce. Hello, my name's Frank. I run Hard Knocks here at the NFL. Frank, it's Bruce Allen. How you doing? Hey, Bruce, what's up? Please, 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 I beg you, please let us be on Hard Knocks this year, please. Man, do we need it. Our fan base is just gone in the tank. People don't care anymore. Apathy is set in. We're doing our best with Dwayne Haskins and Darius Geis, but we need something. The Redskins need Hard Knocks. This would be great. Bump up your Q rating around the country. Bump up your Q rating in town. And then, here's the best part. Turn this into a commercial. For the month that those cameras are around.
Idiots like me believe that Tampa Bay was going to be good because Gerald McCoy had a great get-off and was working on drills.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's easy.
For a month when those cameras are around, just get your act together. Tony Wiley and his staff put on a clinic for a month. Figure out a way to get through a clean month where Bruce Allen comes off. When he's in his office, the cameras are rolling. Every time they're recording on one of those meetings, you come off as a pro, as a mensch, as the nicest guy in the world. You're the ultimate politician. You handshake and you high five and you hug and you do all these great things for the community with these cameras rolling. And you use this as a commercial. We are not who you think we are. What is said about us in the media is false. Because there's already some diehard Redskins fans that wear capes and call themselves, you know, super fan or whatever it is that they do, that already hate the media's guts. They're the big bad media, and how dare the Washington Post write bad about the team, and Grant and Danny are liars and jerks, and Eric Bickle makes up stories, and whatever else, right? There are certain fans that will always, no matter what the team does, they will pretend that what the team is saying is the truth, what the media says is all a bunch of lies, and we just want them to fail. So play that up. We are the cleanest operating front office. Have meetings where you pretend like, send Doug Williams up to the board to actually run a meeting and have him record on it.
How smart we are. Look, all the things that you bristle about. Remember how mad they got at us? Remember how mad they got when people gave Scott McLuhan credit behind the scenes? They were irritated that we thought that it was they were perceived to be this bunch of incompetent boobs that had Benny Hill music played every time they changed rooms. Show everybody how smart you are. Show everybody how qualified you are, how capable you are, how on the same page you are. Beyond that it's a commercial, okay? I understand that you don't want certain things exposed. That's fine. This is why everything you're saying is correct, and I'm going to add information. The biggest story in recent Redskins memory is not who was fired. It's not who the quarterback is. It's this. Last year, the Redskins and Giants drew a 14 rating in the D.C. market. They were outdrawn in Washington, D.C., by the Eagles and Cowboys, which received the 19.8 rating. That's not the only time that's happened. They had other games on at the exact same time that they tied with in Washington, D.C., in our marketplace. Seats are being ripped out of the stadiums. Their season ticket base is dwindling. Do you understand? The tide, it's not even turning. It's like, oh, we're starting to change directions. You have fallen off a cliff of fan interest. It wasn't that long ago. I was doing a radio program on this station, and we said to people, hey guys, Pat White or Rex Grossman. And for 2 hours, people screamed passionately about who the third quarterback on the Washington Redskins should be. I humbly, timidly brought up they probably shouldn't keep 3 quarterbacks. It's a waste of a roster spot. No one cared about that. Pat White versus Rex Grossman, a legitimate discussion. We can't get calls about Dwayne bleeping Haskins now.
If
do you understand?
Anybody that's got an idea on how we can invigorate the fan base some, is there any way we could draw some excitement? Is there any way we could get people a little more animated about our team? I've got an idea.
Oh, here's one.
Yeah, Barry, what do you got? How about we try to be the team on Hard Knocks this year? Remember when everyone loved the Jets for 2 years because Rex Ryan was on Hard Knocks?
He wanted to eat a snack. He's still dining out on that snack.
Remember when everyone loved the Bucks because they were on Hard Knocks that time? Remember when the Browns became America's team and Grant Paulson loves them now because they were on Hard Knocks that one time? Hard Knocks does not make people like you less. Hard Knocks does not ruin your popularity. Hard Knocks does not do anything other than help your Q rating. You need it. You should be contacting the league and begging to be the team on Hard Knocks. Instead, what I think would happen is HBO and the NFL come to the Redskins and they would say, we'd prefer not to be on the show, thank you. Ask somebody else. No. You should be doing the opposite. Tell me why I'm wrong. That's what I want people to do on the phones next. Tell us why we are off base. 800-636-1067. The Redskins need Hard Knocks. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you can answer a trivia question about this here show, end of this segment, you're going to win a couple tickets to see the Nats take on the Marlins on May 24th at Nationals Park.
I got a good question we can ask at the end of this segment. I thought of a good one. I'll ask it.
I'm looking forward to that.
You want me to do it?
Absolutely.
You got it.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, the odds have come out on which team's going to be on Hard Knocks. They came out this afternoon via Bet Online, and your Washington Redskins are the favorite at 5-4. Raiders, Giants, Lions, 49ers, all 2-5 in the conversation. My argument is the Redskins need Hard Knocks, that they should be pleading with the league to be on Hard Knocks. They should beg, they should ask to be the show on Hard Knocks. I think it does wonders for organizations. You control the message. You get to determine what is shown and what isn't. You can put the kibosh if you want to on certain video if somebody says something stupid or you don't like it. I'm sure not everything that you want edited out will be, but the league is not trying to make teams look bad. They're not trying to make the league's product look bad. The Redskins can put together a show of their own, a we're running a great outfit front. There is a movie I used to love. I want to say, let me think of the name of it. I think it's called Camp Nowhere, okay? You ever seen, Dar is excited. I knew you would love this movie. You ever seen Camp Nowhere?
I have no idea what that is.
Okay, so I'm going to roughly tell you about it in 30 seconds.
Okay.
A bunch of kids fake go away to a summer camp, and they basically come up with their own summer camp. I want you to think about the movie with Justin Long and really hot Blake Lively, South Harmon Institute of Technology.
Was Blake Lively in that?
Yeah, she's the hot chick that he dates in that. I think it's called Accepted or something like that.
Yeah, he makes up his own college.
So he made up his own college for that, and then he basically has all these classes, and like parents come and they have to fool them. Well, in Camp Nowhere, to go back to one of my favorite childhood movies, they come up with this camp. There's not actually a camp. They're like writing letters for the summer. They're hanging out and drinking Yoo-Hoos all night, and they're like doing whatever they want to do. Well, the parents all need to come for like parents' weekend. So then they have to come up with fake like stuff for parents' weekend, and all of a sudden they have to act like they're actually going through like these exercises, and we're doing this from 2-4, and we're doing this from 4-6, and they're like fooling everybody. You get what
I'm
saying?
Sure, yeah, I get you.
The Redskins can do that act. While the cameras are there, while the parents are in town, here's the summer camp we run. We're a really good team. Just look at our team meetings. Look how good Doug Williams does running this meeting. He runs a meeting for the first time. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Do that. Spin the narrative. Allow all your fans to call in and tell me I'm a big jerk and you're a big idiot liar. and you win and we lose. And oh, by the way, more excitement, more giddiness, more joy, more exuberance, more people interested in your product. The Bucks got more popular. The Browns are the most popular they've ever been. The Jets became the team people were pulling for in the AFC. Everybody seems to be more well-liked as an organization after they do Hard Knocks. I don't know a team after Hard Knocks ended that people said, man, they stink. Maybe the Dolphins because Joe Philbin was so boring.
He was blah. Now, there have been lots of, people are tweeting us this. I'm at Funny Danny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. Guylo basically says this show is for losers. And a lot of times he's right. Now, the Rams a few years ago were terrible. The Bucks underachieved. The Falcons had a bad season. The Dolphins were particularly good. The point is, it's mixed, right? Because it's the among the pool, it's not, hey, you're coming off the AFC title game. Do you want to be on Hard Knocks? That's generally not who it is. Now, the Cowboys have done it multiple times.
I think that's such a tough guy, awful take.
But Cincinnati's done it a couple times. It's some teams are obviously really willing to do it, and other teams are just hoping that their number doesn't come
up. I'm sure the Browns are losers right now. I'm sure John Dorsey was really building a loser last year. We saw that on the ground floor as they turn their act around. They're going to make the playoffs probably this year. Oh, by the way, I'm going to sound like the tough guy now, and I don't mean to. This is not meant to be disrespectful, but this is just the wake-up call I think that maybe sometimes people need. The Redskins are losers. They lose. That's what they do. They lose, and they lose, and they lose, and they lose.
Now, that's part one, but part two is the only thing I care about, right? Again, nobody wants to talk about this. The biggest story is the lack of interest. That's the story for the Washington Redskins. Above all else, the lack of interest in their product. They must do something. They hired a savior and gave him 7 months to turn around years of this ship barreling headfirst into icebergs. They can't get right. Please use it. This is a tool available to you. I don't really care for Facebook that much. And to be honest with you, if I wasn't doing this thing, I probably wouldn't tweet very often. It's free. It's advertising. You got to do it. You just have to do it. I know it's not easy for a month. It creates a lot of work. You know what's needed? You guys to dig yourselves out of this hole that you have dug under Dan Snyder's ownership for the last 20 years. Acknowledge it, which you did in part. You gave a guy 7 months and La Familia to try to turn the ship around. He didn't because he couldn't because the problems are too large. This might be a quick fix. Help yourself.
Dar. Camp Nowhere. Christopher Lloyd. Any file?
Guy, it's one of my favorite movies from my childhood.
Is Christopher Lloyd? What Christopher Lloyd is it? You know what I mean?
It's Angels in the Outfield. Angels in the Outfield, crazy. Not quite Doc Brown, Christopher Lloyd.
But like the guy from Taxi, who's, I'm just so, like that guy?
Yeah, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Basically, he plays like a weird, old guy that lives by himself. Basically, he seems drugged out. Who knows?
Okay.
But basically, he plays the adult when the parents come that runs the camp and like dresses up in a bunch of outfits and costumes to act like he's running the camp.
He actually made that exact noise you made like 7 times in the movie.
Well, that's the Christopher Lloyd School of Acting.
Yeah.
When he had to break from type to be, I'm Dr. Robert Brown, Twin Pines Mall, 1955. Like, he broke type for that. When he was like out of his mind, like doing Taxi back in the day, just sort of quivering. That was the Christopher Lloyd bit.
You got to watch that movie. You'll hate it now. You missed the boat. It was out in 94.
Sounds like I missed it.
Just check it out. Maybe watch it with Bill Rowland in like 5 years. That's when you watch it.
Camp Nowhere.
I'll tell you off air. There's a couple things you need to see in that movie. Craig in Manassas. Craig, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show, like always.
Hey, buddy.
So, man, as an Eagles fan, I hope you guys do it because I think it would be a disaster. Why put, and Grant, you know, I agree with most things you say, but you were putting way too much faith into Bruce Allen to put up a front in front of cameras. I can't even put faith in him to do that. I think he will mess it all up. And, you know, as for putting up a front and making the team look, you know, I guess like a class organization, Redskins fans ain't stupid. And, you know, fans outside of that, they know better. They know that it's all, you know, BS.
So here's the sort of, I would say, corroborating evidence to that. Who was the loser from Hard Knocks in Cleveland? Hugh Jackson. He's going to be out front. You can't hide everybody.
Right.
Right? Now, they didn't know how bad Hugh Jackson looked or was going to look, and they had to prove all the footage.
Hugh Jackson didn't lose because of Hard Knocks. Hugh Jackson was a loser because Hugh Jackson's a terrible coach.
Yes, he is. But they kept employing him and kept trotting him out there and kept letting him make decisions.
They already knew they were getting rid of him. John Dorsey had to give him some rope. He couldn't just come in and boot him immediately.
So that would be the fear then, is if you've got people that won't hold up well under questioning, right? They'll have a moment as cameras follow them around for, you know, hours a day for weeks, you're going to see potentially Bruce do something that might embarrass him. That's the argument against you if you're the Redskins. And which tells you everything you need to know, by the way, about how the organization is. But I think if they believe what they seem to believe, what they seem to espouse, that we're just the big bullies and we're jerks and they really are a top-notch operation that's just run into some bad fortune, show everybody. Here's your chance. Pull the curtain back. Let them in. Let them in. Let everybody in. What do you have to hide? Right? If we're like, this is how I'd frame it if I'm trying to sell them on it. If they're right, if those fat idiots in the middle of the day or the guys that have been doing the morning show for a long time or Dukes or anybody else, if they're right, you won't do this. If they're wrong, show them. Show them.
Open the doors. Let's go. Let's see it, man. You guys are doing things the right way. Use this as a commercial. I mean, who should want this more than an organization that's trying to say, you guys just don't understand how good we are behind the scenes. You guys don't really understand the things that you report and you say what you're hearing. It's just not so. Okay, cool. Here's an opportunity to invite cameras in to show everyone that you actually do run a good organization. Because I can tell you what's going to happen if you don't. It's just more of the same. We assume and what we hear and what we see and the results speak for themselves. But you got a chance to spin the narrative if you want it. Danny. What's the question? If someone calls as the 10th caller and answers right now, they're winning a pair of tickets to see the Marlins take on the Nats via PenFed Credit Union, who are taking you out to the ballgame all season long with the fan. Details at thefandc.com/contest.
Very simple. Tell Brendan Nard, 800-636-1067. Happened an hour ago. Who won the Guinness Stakes?
Oh.
Who won the Guinness Stakes?
A horse that won the Guinness Stakes does have a chance at the Geipel Crown. Very exciting day here on Grant and Danny. Next, let's look ahead to the weekend in sports, including a 3-game series with the Cubs for the Nationals that starts tonight on Thursday. Max on the Hill to take on Cole Hamels. You are listening to 106.7.
A lot of good stuff happens in the dark. Concerts, parties, but you can almost never get good pictures because, well, the dark. Unless you've got a Pixel 3a from Google, that is, the smartphone known for taking great photos. It's got a great feature called Night Sight that gets shots with great detail and color, even in super low lights. You can get beautiful photos of your favorite moments. Not to mention, the Pixel 3a has an amazing battery. This thing gets a 7-hour charge in 15 minutes, so your phone stays charged all day. The adaptive battery even knows to limit battery use for apps you don't use as much. Head to a Verizon store to get the Google Pixel 3a starting at $399. That's a seriously decent price for a seriously premium phone. Approximate battery life based on a mix of talk, data, standby, mobile hotspot, and use of other features with always on display off. An active display or data usage will decrease battery life. Charging rates are based on use of the included charger. Charging time performance statistics are approximate. Actual results may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, final couple of minutes. Chad Dukes versus the world at 2. A full featured length Chad Dukes versus the world after his abbreviated installment. 1 or so hour show yesterday after Nats baseball. He's with you from 2 to 6:30 today right here on The Fan. A big weekend ahead in sports. PGA Championship through Sunday. Bethpage State Park in New York. Brooks Koepka is your leader at -7. He tees off right now, actually, at 149. So within the next couple of seconds in New York.
You did a bit today on your birthday day that I admire.
Day.
You engaged, this is Matt Valdez. You engaged Valdez in a legitimate golf conversation, asked good questions, and held your own while I looked down at my shoes.
I did.
I was really impressed by that.
Well, here's the difference between me and you. I'm not a golf fan per se.
Mm-hmm.
You hate golf. That's the difference.
Right. I like doing it. It's fun.
I will watch the majors on TV. I find it to be somewhat relaxing. Mm-hmm. I find the television generally, while somewhat boring, to be
soothing.
soothing is a good word. Yeah, I can kind of nod off and wake back up, and it's still on. And if Tiger's on, I'm curious. I also enjoy Jordan Spieth, who surged today. He shot a 66. He's minus five, just two shots back after finishing his second round. But yeah, I like chatting with Valdez or one of the junks, whether it's EB or Bish Bucks, because they're pretty sharp, and so I wanted some intel
on today.
Yeah,
they know their stuff, man.
I said, hey, when are these guys teeing off? And the thing that Valdez told me that I thought was intriguing was the weather predicted today at Bethpage was such that if you shot early, like Jordan Spieth did, or this guy Daniel Berger, who I've never heard of, who moved up 14 spots by shooting a 66 today and is now minus four, three shots off the lead. If you teed off early like he did, the weather is going to be great and you're going to be able to shoot a low score, whereas the guys that are shooting later, like Brooks Koepka or Tiger who tee off right now, they're screwed and they're going to have to be hitting through a bunch of wind and they're going to have worse scores. So, I don't know. I thought that was interesting. But all weekend, you got that. NBA playoffs. Warriors are up 2-0 on the Trailblazers. Now, they played on Thursday.
So, they don't play again for a month.
That means we won't get another game in that series until, I'm assuming, on Sunday. But we do have a game tonight. The Toronto Raptors trying to avoid falling down 2-0 in Milwaukee, taking on the Bucks. Last time we saw Milwaukee, the Brook Lopez show went off the charts. I mean, he was great. That's what would scare me if I'm the Raptors, by the way. If you're Toronto, you played pretty well. Giannis was just regular good, wasn't incredible, and you still lost.
Every box that you would ask to be checked was reasonably checked for Toronto in game one. Lowry outdueled Bledsoe, held 4-for-13 shooting. He scored 30 points. He was great. Leonard did his Kawhi Leonard bit. Antetokounmpo was good but not dominant in that game. Brook Lopez. You can't account for a guy making $3 million dropping 30 basically in that kind of environment.
Brooks was here, but Brook was here. And actually, I'm looking at the series right now. Golden State, Portland's tomorrow night.
They do play tomorrow night. Good for them.
Inexplicably. I mean, they had 2 days off between games when they didn't travel in Golden State, and now they travel to Portland, and they only had 1 day off. Nothing about the NBA schedule will ever make any sense to me. But I just think the Warriors are going to win this thing. I said in five, I'll still give Portland a win at home.
I think Portland gets one.
Gentleman sweep style. Durant does not have to play in this series, and it won't go six. I've seen enough to know that at this point.
If Portland didn't win last night, this series can't go deep to me. Because Portland, everything, again, same as Toronto. Portland had 65 points at halftime, had an 8-point lead with 4 minutes to go, was the better team for, what would you say, 40 of the 48 minutes? Two Golden State spurts, change that, and they win still.
Yep.
You know, and if you are going to lose in a game where Kevin Looney's making meaningful buckets, if you're going to lose in a game where Doug McKinney, who runs the Junkies from NBC Sports Washington on the television side, is going to make huge buckets, what are you going to do, man? I mean, you just throw your hands up and say, you're better than us, tip of the cap.
Nats-Cubs starts tonight, 3-game series. This could define whether or not Washington's actually turning a corner or whether they're just going to continue to sputter. Chicago's good, and they can rake. They're scoring a lot of runs of late. This is a matchup of Joe Maddon and his former pupil, Davey Martinez. It was because he worked next to Joe Maddon for years that Martinez became a hot commodity and a household name who was getting interviews all over the joint for years before the Nats made him their manager. Three night games in a row, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You don't see that very often. 7:05, 7:15, 7:08. Three different start times all right after 7 o'clock here in D.C. because the Nats and the Cubs will be on Sunday Night Baseball on national TV. I believe, and I don't know if this is true, that's because the Nats were worried I wouldn't be able to watch because President Reagan's getting baptized on Sunday.
Oh, very nice afternoon. Of them to do that. Yes.
So I think they said, well, we don't want Grant to have to miss our game, so we'll just play on Sunday Night Baseball tonight. I think that's why they did it.
Consider it. That's nice of them to do that.
Give me 2 out of 3. I'm coming in here Monday feeling okay about
that. Dude, I'll be shucking and jiving. I think it's a scheduled loss that Jeremy Hellickson, Sunday Night Baseball against Kyle Hendricks. The Nats never hit Kyle Hendricks well, ever.
He's going to go 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 9 strikeouts.
Yeah, so they're losing that game. If you can somehow emerge from a Scherzer-Strasburg 1-2 on Friday and Saturday with a couple Ws, with a couple good baseball games played against the Cubbies, I would feel ecstatic about that. I feel ecstatic, or ecstatic, as Mike Tyson used to say. I feel ecstatic.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, that there is a Friday broadcast. Whatever you're doing this weekend, enjoy it. If you missed any part of today's show, including the Guinness Stakes. TheFanDC.com, also our list of the jerks that we've dealt with in sports.
That was fun.
That was a good time. GrantandDanny.com/audio is where you can listen to all of our podcasted segments.
Quick predictions. Tyrion executed by Daenerys. I think it ends with an ending that we don't like. Fear reigns. Daenerys wins with her Drogon dragon wrecking you-know-what. Coming up, very special, Chad Dukes versus the world. This is a big deal. He is going to dive super, super deep into the Texas Rangers. What's their plan and how is Joey Gallo hitting 270? Chad has the answer 4.5 hours next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.